Yeah, and the Zemlinsky, I mean, I think what would be great is to possibly play the first,
Right.
part, which is just an introduction musically, no singing, but it kind of brings a lot of the themes out, and it really shows the extreme sort of. There's a kind of a royal feel to it, warlike feel to it. There's also the great sensual statements in there. So I think we get a lot of the atmosphere of the piece just in that introduction, which will be staged.
And we'll listen to that orchestral introduction to Zemlinsky's A Florentine Tragedy now. And we'll be listening to a naive recording with Armin Jourdain conducting the Radio France Philharmonic Orchestra.
love duet between Guido and Bianca,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which is very beautiful.
Yeah.
We've just heard Iris Vermilion and Victor Lutsiuk as Bianca and Guido.
Then I would say, somewhere towards the end of the piece, mm-hmm. maybe the sort of last bits of the fight between them
right.
and the denouement of somebody, and then the gorgeous music that yes. happens at the very end is quite exciting to hear too. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the parts I would feature in the Zemlinsky.
Let's listen to the final section of Zemlinsky's A Florentine Tragedy now, and we'll be listening to Albert Doman as Simone, Iris Vermilion as Bianca, and Victor Lutsiuk as Guido.
Mich blendete die Flamme. Nicht traurig sein, Bianca, es ist nichts. Dein Kater blutet, wenn nichts ist. Nimm ein Tuch, verbinde mir den Arm. Nicht so fest und sei nicht traurig, ich bitte dich, sei nicht traurig. Nein, nimm's ab, was liegt dran, wenn ich blute? Auf, noch einmal! Mein hoher Herr, ihr seht, ich erträgt, mein Schwert ist bis zur Zeit, Hände gekriegt, ach, glaube mir die Teiche!
Thank you.
Are there any particular operas or future projects that you
dying
to work on?
Dying to work on. Dying to work on so many, I must tell you. And I mean, that goes the gamut of things like Janáček, Wagner, Berg. I haven't done my Berg yet, and I dearly would love to do that. But, you know, more Puccini too. And Monteverdi's L'Incoronazione di Poppea, for instance. Oh, the whole gamut. I've sung the entirety of the history of singing, and I'd like
now to.
It's time to direct it. So I want to do exactly the same thing in directing that I did with my singing career. Mm-hmm. To be brief on that
right.
point.
That covers it very well.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that you're currently involved with an exciting project. It's a new opera by the American composer Thomas Passatieri mm-hmm. called The Family Room. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a very exciting project because, you see, every once in a while I do get to still sing, and that's fun for me. But it's not my main focus anymore. But when I get a project like this, and this project, the genesis of it was really that Thomas Passatieri, having worked with me from very early on in my career, very early on. In fact, you should know that I actually was involved in 9 world premieres in my career. And I've worked with the likes of Conrad Souza, Thomas Passatieri, William Bolcom, and Carlisle Floyd. And I've always loved working with living composers because you learn so much about what dead composers we were thinking about.
What they had to go through,
and the flexibility that they probably had, because living composers are amazingly practical. They want their pieces done, and they want their singers to be happy. And I have that experience having worked with composers. It's fabulous. But it's also great to be on the sort of before the creative process sometimes. In my case with The Family Room, it's really interesting. The genesis was really that Thomas Passatieri, having worked with me a great deal from the early part of my career, and more recently with Lauren Flanagan, and adoring both of us very much, being very typically from the same way of thinking, real music, theater kinds of performers, he wanted to write something for the two of us. And so we started to think about what could we do, what kind of a subject. And Tom had actually read some of the writings of my daughter, Daphne Malfitano. She's written plays. And he wondered if she could write a libretto. She had never done so, but he wondered. And she loved the challenge. She jumped right into it, created her own story, and made a libretto, which he adored, and to me wrote confidentially, you know, she's just like the young Tennessee Williams. She's what an amazing writer she is. And he said, there's nothing I have to change in her libretto.
Wow.
It's ready for me to compose to. So I know that she's multi-talented, my daughter, but this was a revelation, truly a revelation for all of us. And so it turned into an hour, almost a 90-minute opera. And we did readings privately for people in the business and friends back in December of 2009. We almost had a production that came to fruition, fell through just during that economic crisis and fell out. And primarily because of the nerves around a new piece, unfortunately. But it's now being picked up again, and we're going to our next level, which is we're going to do staged readings in July, this July 2011, in Princeton at the MacArthur Theater and the Berlin Theater. Anyone who wants to look it up would look up the Opera New Jersey website, and they will find The Family Room there, the performances. Also, American Opera Projects.
Yeah, that's how I found it.
That's right. They have it as well. And so it's a collaboration between, because American Opera Projects devotes themselves to discovering new works. And it's really fabulous that we're getting to do this in a really wonderful venue. But the idea is that we want to go to the third step, obviously, and have
full.
It produce full production with the 14 instruments that it's scored for. Right now, it will still be with piano and semi-staged. So it's entirely exciting, entirely exciting. And actually, my daughter is right now writing, because Tom Pasiteri wants to write a monodrama for me, and she's writing a new libretto for a monodrama for
myself.
Look
forward to that. Down the line.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. So it's exciting to have. I like wearing three hats very much. You know, the teaching, the directing, and the time to time returning to singing for special projects at this point. I've done everything in the usual way an opera singer gets to do, and I did more because I had huge opportunities to do a wide range of roles. So now I really love the creative spirit of directing, love the collaboration, the collaborative efforts of the theater, which, by the way, COC is just fantastic in that way. It's been great to either Skype or be in meetings with the technical group. They're fabulous. And they're so really dedicated to the creative development of a project. Not just technically, you know, in other words, like I said earlier about technique and singers,
right.
There's got to be a goal beyond technique. And there, I can sense that the goal here is not just about the technique and the financial budgetary needs, but it's to get the best show out there possible. And I feel the support of this company tremendously, and it's a great thing from top to bottom.
Well, wonderful. I mean, we are so excited about this project, and
this makes us
even more anticipatory. Catherine, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners will too. For more information about the recordings we've been listening to and the COC's productions, please visit our website at coc.ca, where you can also purchase tickets and season-related recordings online. This is Gianmarco Segato. Please join me again in this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by DECA, the opera label.